Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 4, Text 76. Excuse me. Volume 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Saratyam Parshadatvam Cha Sevanam Mantri Dutate Yurasana Nugamane Chakre Stute Nitir Api. He acted as their servant, advisor, messenger, charioteer, and court attendant. He kept watch for them at night, following them on processions, and even offered them praise and obeisances. Commentary, not only did Lord Krishna look after the Pandavas as the invisible super soul, but he also dealt with them in various public exchanges of love. Sometimes he drove Arjuna's chariot. In Yudhisthira's court, he sat at the head of the assembly of advisors. Like an intimate servant, he anticipated the Pandavas' wishes. At the Rajasuya sacrifice, he humbly washed the feet of every guest. He gave personal counsel to Yudhisthira and carried messages for him. On occasion, he would stand guard all night with sword in hand. And he would follow Yudhisthira in procession and offer words of praise like an ordinary subordinate. All Vaishnavas take delight in hearing these glories of the Pandavas. But one who has a special relationship with the Pandavas, like their grandson Parikshit, spontaneously feels special ecstasy from such hearing. As Sri Suta Goswami describes in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.16.16, quote, Marge Cricket heard that Lord Krishna Vishnu, who is universally obeyed, out of his causeless mercy rendered all kinds of service to the malleable sons of Pandu. The Lord accepted posts ranging from chariot driver to president, to messenger, friend, and night watchman according to the will of the Pandavas. Obeying them like a servant and offering obeisances like one younger in years. When Maharaj Prickett heard this, he became overwhelmed with devotion to the lotus feet of the Lord, end quote. The verse spoken here by Hanuman does not explicitly mention the friendship between Krishna and the Pandavas because all their exchanges were effects of this underlying relationship. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Taksurunmulatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vairagya Yud Bhakti Risham Piyatnai Apayama Manabipsamandam Kripambuhiya Paraduka Duki Sanatanastam Prabhumasriyami Vansha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Shindhu Bhai Vicha Patitanam Pavanebhyo. Boy, I got a quote. Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasade Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm sucking a cough drop, so you may hear some weird sound on the phone. Until that. Well, greetings from Washington, D.C., the day after. The day before yesterday, I arrived from India and I came right to Washington where Henry one of our faithful Sangha listeners, is hosting me in his house in Washington, next to the Iraqi embassy. I'm not joking. They're our neighbors. And very nice in his house. This is where Jamuna stayed when she wrote her cookbook. In fact, in the kitchen, they have like a pegboard where she drew personally the different items of cooking in the kitchen and where they should be placed. And it's always nice here in my attempt to share Krishna consciousness to use this facility to meet people, and met some very, very nice people yesterday here. Actually, one lady that came to India, I didn't know she knew Henry. She came to visit yesterday also, and also to see Henry. Let me just have some fun, drop some names here. her ancestors signed a Declaration of Independence and sold the land that the White House was built on. That's kind of irrelevant. How dare you, Senator Swami? What does that mean? I'm trying to give you the flavor. And every evening, I have one lecture. I had one Friday night when I came. So it's nice. And when you come to a place regularly, you begin to meet people and develop nice friendships and get facility to share spiritual life. So I'm going to give a review because it's been 2 weeks, and you know I really like to always put things in context. I'll try to go quickly and get up to the ecstatic description of the Pandavas. And as I mentioned before, I heard that from the Raimars that Prabhupada was especially fond of the Pandavas. And when Prabhupada stayed in the Keshavaji Gaudiya Math, before he took sannyas, or maybe after he took sannyas, but about that time, and at least he was in Vanaprastha, and he stayed in one room, Narayan Maharaj would explain that, you know, Prabhupada at that time was so humble and so renounced, and even though there was like a hole in his quilt, when Narayan Maharaj would come in the room, he would take off his uttariya, that's the top piece of the sannyasi, and put it over the bed. He'd remember that. We remember how Prabhupada would very often speak about the Pandavas, that although they were the kings of the world, and they possessed everything, technically the king is on behalf of God owns anything, they never had that consciousness of possessiveness. Prabhupada said they were still a Akinchana Gochara. Akinchana means the line of people who don't have any sense of possessiveness because they see everything as God's. And that's one of the reasons in household life where the deity worship is recommended. Because that's what spiritual consciousness is, to see everything as God. When you see things separate from God, that's Maya. And that's fostered by the desire to enjoy. So sense gratification causes illusion, the illusion that things are separate from God. But when you have deities, then all of a sudden you have to, if you do it in the proper way, you have to start looking at everything as the deities. And people in that consciousness, advanced people, cultured people, actually have that consciousness. Not my house, it's Krishna's. Or they see Atithi Bhagavan. They see the guest as God, which is also a cultural way of shifting your consciousness spiritually. You come to a cultured person's house, this is not my house, this is your house. So it's a whole culture of moving out of that egoistic center. And people who are cultured, even if they're wealthy, even if they're powerful, even if they have positions, they live in a culture that doesn't allow them to have that sense of possession. And Prabhupada was appreciating that. He was appreciating that about the Pandavas. And we're going to see in the verses that come up the force of that type of love, where you're actually detached. And detached means not that you're just aloof from the objects of the senses, but virakti, which is indifference, which is a symptom of bhava, that even in the midst of opulence and wealth, you remain indifferent. So they gave everything to Krishna, and Krishna is responsive. Prabhupada, three words in a purport. Krishna is responsive. Prabhupada says Krishna does not have the defect of impersonality. He reciprocates with the devotees. Akila rasa nita muti. He's the embodiment of personality. And that's why we're attracted to Krishna. We're attracted to his beauty. And the beauty of Krishna is his personality, not just his position. And therefore, when someone gives their heart to Krishna fully, then Krishna reciprocates according to their desires to serve him. And we'll see that very, very startling. We're seeing that with all the devotees, but we're seeing a progression. Because Hanuman, which I'm going to give a little review quickly, but Hanuman was in that mood of that, you know, Krishna, Ramachandra is my master. And he was worshiping and praying so deeply. And therefore, Hanuman had a little bit higher devotional status than the previous devotee, Prahlad, who had so much love and devotion and reverence for Krishna, and so much saw Krishna as God, that he didn't have the inspiration or feeling that much for personal service, because he understood that God has all opulence. So he would just appreciate and pray deeply and have complete faith in God's protection. But a little bit more is Hanuman because of that personal service. And now we're going to see in the Pandavas that the force of their love is so powerful, the force of their personal service is so powerful, that God comes to their level and even goes subordinate to them to render service to them. And so many ways. And when the Vaishnavas hear this, they become ecstatic about how wonderful is Krishna, that he is Bhaktivatsala, he's the servant of his devotees, and how wonderful are the devotees, that their love is so forceful that Krishna becomes bound by their devotion. Krishna becomes arrested by their devotion. And Krishna being bound and Krishna being arrested by love is not a denigration of Krishna, it's a glorification of Krishna. Because the greatest aspect of personality is that you serve and you love. And we're going to see how God serves and loves in any way for his devotees, if they have that type of relationship. Now, we'll go quickly. Prahlad, go to Hanuman. Hanuman serves. Then we see what Narada sees. He sees Hanuman in ecstasy. Now, ecstasy means love, because love is ecstasy. You can't experience ecstasy outside of the feeling of love. So when you're viewing someone in ecstatic symptoms, Hanuman is trembling. He's glorifying Krishna. He's hearing about Krishna. He's chanting. He's paying obeisances. He's worshiping. And he's in ecstasy doing so. So what does that ecstasy mean? It means he's feeling love. And love is the topmost manifestation of God's mercy. You want God's mercy? You have to become happy. But real happiness is love. And you're not aiming to be happy. You're aiming to serve Krishna. But that feeling of service is the greatest pleasure. And when it fills your heart to the maximum degree, you have the maximum amount of Krishna's mercy. And this is the foolishness that I am in. And this is the foolishness that many of us must be in this world. We're seeking happiness not in taking the position of humble servant, but we're seeking happiness in being the object of service by putting ourselves in the center and seeing the world as an object of our pleasure and our service. But the devotee is moving out of the center. He's putting Krishna in the center. He's putting the devotees in the center. And he's becoming the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Why? Because he's not concerned with position. He's concerned with the pleasure of the person whom he's serving, which is God. So this happiness, this ecstasy, it's a symptom of love. And when we see the activities of Hanuman, he's hearing, he's chanting, he's worshiping, and bowing down, because in bhakti, the means and the end are the same. The difference is you're hearing, you're chanting, you're worshiping, and bowing down. In sadhana bhakti, you're doing those things to attain love of Krishna. In sadhya, when you achieve perfection, hearing, chanting, worshiping, and bowing down is a result of your love. So he's seeing Hanuman just in this state of ecstasy. But seeing him in this state of ecstasy, he also understands what the process is to get there. And Narada, he becomes very enthusiastic. And he glorifies Hanuman as Sriman, one who possesses opulence. But the point is, if you serve one who possesses the opulence of devotion, which is transcendental ecstasy, which is bhava bhakti, and you serve them purely, then you share that ecstasy. And therefore we see Narada Muni beginning to manifest the same ecstasy from serving one who has those qualities. And it can't be stressed enough in spiritual practices. This lady that was here last night, and I spoke to her with Henry, and we talked to somebody about religion. I hope I can remember the point. Oh, yeah, that she wanted to know the relationship between Catholicism and bhakti. And, of course, she was married, but her boyfriend now is a professor of religion. And was, I think, aspiring when he was younger to be a Jesuit. And I explained the similarities, and one similarity is the worship of saints. And I noted that from Patanjali Sutra, that to make the mind lucid, you make as the object of your meditation one who is selfless. And the conduit is humility that's born of glorification and worship. It's so effective in the practice of Krishna consciousness. We have to pray to saints past and present. And by praying to them and actually meditating on them, not just their physical form, but their qualities, which we are studying here in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, qualities. Think of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. He has an individual personality. But meditate how that personality and the things that he does is born of pure love. Meditate on Srila Prabhupada and think about what he did, his life, and how he acted, what his qualities were, and how they're born of pure love. And past and present, you can meditate this way. And by meditating in that way, and offering respects in that way, you maximize your effort, you maximize your ability to share in their ecstasy. But an interesting point is as soon as Narada starts to glorify Hanuman, then Hanuman becomes sober. In other words, that's not his ecstasy being in the center. So he's in ecstatic trance, and ecstatic Hanuman's in such ecstasy. As soon as he's glorified, that glorification is not his ecstasy. So there's a moment of sobriety because he does not want to be drawn to the center. And that's the nature of the devotee. And then Narada speaks, and he glorifies Hanuman. And he really, the key to devotion, one of the keys, of course, he describes Hanuman as giving everything. And that's what a devotee is. A devotee gives everything to Krishna. Think of someone whom you consider a great devotee. And one of the primary, these will be, what Narada is going to say about Hanuman will be their two primary characteristics. The first one is that they give everything to Krishna. Everything they have, every ability, it's given to God. If you think about Prabhupada, really, why do we glorify Prabhupada? Why is he our guru? Why do we worship Prabhupada? Because he gave everything to God. It's not about personality. You can be attracted to personality, you can be not attracted to personality. Prabhupada has one personality. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has another personality. Gaurakishore Das Babaji has another personality. Jagannanda Pandit has one personality. Srupa Damodar has another personality. Pundarik Vidyanidhi has one personality. Haridas Thakur has another personality. It's not about being attracted to personality. It's about a person. You may be attracted to personality if you can link that personality to a reflection of their not only desire but accomplishment of giving everything to God. So he's glorified in that way. Nothing was dear to him but that service. Hanuman, and didn't even want liberation. If liberation means merging, and merging means a type of non-duality where service and love is not possible. So wonderful what a Vaishnava is. What attracts us about people? What attracts us about people is when people are for others. And when people are only for themselves, it is not attractive. And we don't want to meditate on those type of people because that sense of their personality will come to us. And then when Hanuman is glorified, just like everyone else, he has the same reaction. I'm not the God servant. He abandoned me. Okay, you're my guru, Narada. I have to agree that I do have good fortune to be engaged in his service. But he has descended to Vaikuntha, and my mercy cannot even be a speck. My mercy cannot equal even a speck of the mercy shown to the Pandavas. Any more than a molecule of earth can equal Mount Sumeru. And then he glorifies him, glorifies the Pandavas, and glorifies the Pandavas even for the suffering that they underwent. And it just shows you the vision of a pure devotee, how his value judgment is always in terms of the association of God and God's mercy, not one's personal material position, happiness, or suffering. So he saw the Pandavas as glorious and as a recipient of mercy, because he even saw the suffering as only for their benefit given by God, or given by God for their glorification. Okay, now we're up to today's verse, and let's get into the Pandavas here. So he acted as their servant, advisor, messenger, and that the service was so strong, the love was so strong, that the Pandavas exhibited it, that Krishna exhibited that love personally. And that love means you're focused on the desires, the object of your love. So he just wanted to serve the Pandavas. When we say that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, what is he enjoying? He's enjoying the love of his devotees. But you enjoy love, if God's pleasure is love, he must also love. Because you enjoy love the most from those whom you love. You can just think of the love in your life that you relish the most. The love in your life that you relish the most, I would say, would be from the people that you love the most. So Krishna's opulence, but the opulence of his devotees, that their love is so forceful, and Krishna is so much enjoying their love and so much loving them that Krishna has to serve him. And just imagine this image, that he would follow Yudhisthira in procession. When Yudhisthira would go in procession, then, as you know, just like in Mayapur, there's that elephant procession, and there's a swasti, 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 swaha. You know, it's auspicious. People chant prayers and throw rice in the air as they're following the procession in glorification of the leader of the procession, which is the deities or the king. So he's throwing up the rice. Swaha, 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 swaha. Swasti, swasti, swasti. And Yudhisthira looks back in the procession, and who is there but Krishna? And Krishna sometimes would stand and guard all night with sword in hand. So Hanuman is just seeing. You think, he's telling Narada, you think that I am glorious. You got the wrong person. Look at the force of the love of the Pandavas. Now Krishna has become their servant. He's standing guard. Krishna is meditating. A good servant, he meditates. A selfish person is only meditating on what he wants. A selfless person is meditating on what others want. And especially he's meditating on the desires of whom he is serving and loves the most. So Krishna is meditating on the Pandavas' wishes, like an intimate servant. And it's very, very wonderful when you see someone in the superior position meditating and focusing on the desires of the person in the subordinate position, and how much love that person has to have in the subordinate position. I told this story before, but it's relevant. I was there in Vrindavan when Prabhupada came to leave this world. you know, and he let us know we came into his room. There's only about maximum 20, 30 people in that room, and I was fortunate to be there. And Prabhupada had, you know, tried to recover his health at Rishikesh. I was just up there, and if you're ever up in Rishikesh, beautiful place, is one place called the Ganga Darshan. And it's a little guest house right on the, really, the center of Rishikesh, where the Ganga just comes down from the mountains and just flows, kind of takes a turn down to the plains. Prabhupada lived there trying to get his health, but when the electricity went out and he saw that his feet were swelling, he took it as God speaking, go to Vrindavan, so there, you know, you should leave this world. So he came, I remember Prabhupada, if you see where his desk was, when Prabhupada came, he was sitting, I believe, to the left of his desk on a chair. The bed was not yet there in his room that's there, the bed that he left. And was sitting there, and then in a similar way as an intimate, where the master, like an intimate servant, just like Krishna is the master, but as an intimate servant, he's anticipating the desires. Then I watched, and Prabhupada just spontaneously started talking about Jayananda, how he helped me so much. He printed my Krishna book. Prabhupada kept on going on because he heard that Jayananda had left the world. So you see that that relationship is reciprocal. It's not only that the servant is thinking about the desires of the master, but if the servant is really intent and really surrendered and giving himself, it wins the heart of the master. And that servant enters into the heart of the master. And then the master becomes like an intimate servant. And the master starts to thinking of the wishes and desires. And that's our goal. Our goal is to have that force of love for Guru and Krishna, that we win their hearts. So this is discussing this. And a very relevant point is made in the purport, how the Vaishnavas take such delight in hearing the glories of the Pandavas. They take delight in hearing the glories of the great devotees. It's such a relevant point. But one who has a special relationship with the Pandavas, like the grandson Pritchett, spontaneously feels special ecstasy. So when you have, the deeper your relationship is, the more happiness, the more love and happiness you will feel when you hear about God and God's devotees. If you have that relationship. For example, someone may hear about Prabhupada's glories and may appreciate them. He may be in another sampradaya. He may have another guru. He may be the disciple of one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. And he may feel some pleasure. But if one has a special relationship with Prabhupada, an intimate relationship with Prabhupada, how much more is one relishing the glories and activities of Prabhupada? And same thing with Krishna. The more you develop an intimate relationship, a special relationship, the more you'll feel ecstasy. So the Pandavas. Well, it's a few more verses here. 77, out of his affectionate concern for them, what would the Lord not do? He was seen taking the combined roles of their servant, companion, and dearmost friend, and they took the same roles. So, Kimva Sasneha, he had affectionate, concern. He had an affectionate concern. What would the Lord not do for these great devotees? I remember this story also where Tamal Krishnamaj had served Srila Prabhupada so sincerely. Then in Bombay, Kamal Krishnamurti, I believe, had to have a hernia operation, and they were in Bombay. I think Kamal Krishnamurti told me this personally. And Prabhupada was on his morning walk. And on his morning walk, he made a detour and went to visit to see how Kamal Krishnamurti was doing. So it's reciprocal. Kamal Krishnamurti was concerned for Prabhupada as his servant, and Prabhupada, therefore, was naturally concerned for him. So in the same way, the Pandavas were so concerned, they would do anything for Krishna, and Krishna would take the same roles. And purport is mentioning, it's not demeaning, it's glorious. And it's not contradictory. Whatever it takes, then that relationship is there. Krishna's various service for the Pandavas is not superficial show, but expressions of his true feelings. Because the Lord resides constantly with the Pandavas, their capital city has become like a sacred forest where great sages perform austerities. Residing in that city awards one the same pious benefits as performing austere acts of penance. So Krishna is with his devotees. So where the devotee resides, Krishna resides. And therefore, where the devotee resides, it becomes a place of pilgrimage. I remember when I had to leave India after being there many years, and I didn't know whether I would be able to come back because I was there on a student visa and how many years you can stay. It wasn't certain that I'd be able to come back. And I took shelter at 26 Second Avenue. And at that same time, I was reading in the Bhagavatam about Vidura, I think, going on pilgrimage. I forgot the verse. But there was two types of descriptions of holy places. One type of description of a holy place was a tirtha, and the other description of a holy place, one was tirtha and one was kshetra. And I forgot the difference, but at least in one place, a distinction was made that one place was where the Lord performed his pastimes, and another place is where the Lord is worshipped. And I was marveling because I remember I used to come in from New Jersey. I was staying at the Tuaco Temple at the time, and this one person was becoming a devotee. He was a postman. And when I would go to speak at Second Avenue, I'd do that once a week. He would come and pick me up, and we'd go to, I forgot where it was, but you get the PATH train, and it lets you off at Fifth Avenue, and then, I've forgotten, 10th Street. And you, or maybe, I don't know, it's Fifth Avenue, and then you walk a couple of avenue blocks. And I remember the sense of pilgrimage, but also the sense that where a powerful devotee is intensely worshiping the Lord, I had a sense that Second Avenue was so special because not only was the Supreme Lord being worshipped intensely by Prabhupada, but not only was he being worshipped intensely by Srila Prabhupada, but he's not only being worshipped intensely by Srila Prabhupada, but it was the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, because it was the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's very, very special. It's a siddha pit. It's a place of perfection. Just like we were just on pilgrimage and we went to Radha Damodar. And when we went to Radha Damodar, it's so special because it's Saber Clinch. It has such an intense internal aspect of service. It's where Radha and Krishna meet and plan to make to do service. It's where it's where the residents, the eternal residents of Braj, meet to plan the intimate service of Radha and Krishna. It's where the six Goswamis would meet to plan the intimate service of Radha and Krishna. And then it was where Prabhupada would stay to plan the intimate service of Radha and Krishna by expanding the intimate servants of Radha and Krishna, which was what Prabhupada's plan was. It's no coincidence that he was focused there at the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami, meditating in that way. And I always had the sense of how special that place is, because not only is it a place of the Lord's pastimes, but it's where a pure devotee is residing, meditating on those pastimes, and worshiping the Supreme Lord. So because the Pandavas resided in Hastinapur, then it becomes such a special place. And Gopi Pranadana makes a very important translating Sanatana Goswami in the purport, that it's described that it's the same benefit of one who performs austerities. Because what's the whole purpose of austerities? The whole purpose of austerities is so that the mind becomes fixed. In the Yoga Sutras, it describes to come to the platform of meditation, one should perform tapasya, swadhyaya, and ishvara pranidhan. One should live simply and perform austerities. A person should study the shastras and chant japa. And a person should worship God. And this ishvara pranidhan means he should shift his orientation and see God as the center, etc. But the whole purpose of any type of austerity and purification is to have one pointed concentration. That's the purpose of austerity, to purify the mind. And what does austerity mean? Despite the irrational impulses of the mind and the body, one remains fixed on one's duty. And that's how the mind becomes pacified. Yesham tvantakatam papam jananam punya karmanam. How do you become bhajanti mam dridhavrita? How do you become fixed in your bhajan? How do you become fixed? Well, yesham tvantakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam. You get rid of these things after life and life and life of practice. And what happens when you perform spiritual practice? Spiritual practice means you're concentrating on your duty in your life and in your spiritual practices. Someone asked me, well, how do you become fixed in the world in love of Krishna? Some very nice lady came yesterday to see me, who's coming to all my classes. And she's become a devotee of Krishna, a very fine young lady. And you know, she really was concerned. How do you see the world spiritually? We have to practice sadhana. And what sadhana does is when you chant mantra, besides the platform that it energizes the nature of the soul, within the mind you develop attachments for Krishna. And when the mind becomes imbued with attachment for Krishna, then you see everything as an opportunity to serve Krishna. And Prabhupada explained it as thrilled every moment. So when you practice sadhana, if you want to be spiritually conscious in the world, you can't neglect sadhana. Because sadhana means that you're controlling the mind, and the material impulses are not being acted on, and they're not being acted on intensely. Let's say that you spend 2 hours in the morning in sadhana. What's happening just on a psychosomatic platform? To get what to speak of the reciprocation and mercy of Krishna that's purifying the consciousness. When Krishna sees your longing for him, he reciprocates with one and he purifies one in the heart. There's so many verses like that. But just on the psychosomatic platform, what is happening, when one is fixing the mind on Krishna, and when one is meditating, then these impulses, these latent impressions and attachments, naturally, they're always coming to the surface. The example that was given to me by one scholar, it's like you have a computer, it has a hard drive, and it has a screen. So the hard drive has unlimited information, practically, but only some of it comes on the screen. So our body and mind in this life is like that. It's programmed. It's like a hard drive. It has so much information. The only thing is that it comes up automatically, practically, either by one's karma or by the objects that one is facing within the world. These latent impressions come to the platform of vritti or thoughts. So even when you're doing your sadhana, so many thoughts will be coming up in the mind. But if one is abhyasa, is practicing, and vairagya, he's becoming detached, and he practices, practice and detachment, what happens is when these imprints that are latent in the mind for pleasure start to manifest and you neglect them, then the imprints, the memories for pleasure in the consciousness start to reduce. And if you live a life and you're young and you live a life of that sadhana, then what happens is gradually, as you get older and older, and different people are at different levels of spiritual evolution, you'll make substantial progress, and the memories of pleasure, the attachments in your consciousness, will be reduced to the level that you could sit down peacefully and chant. Because in this life, you'll have chiesham twantikatam papam jananam put, you'll have purified yourself of them. And therefore, it's so important to practice good sadhana some point during the day where you try to control your mind and you focus it on Krishna and neglect those impulses. Because just from a psychosomatic platform, it's reducing substantially every day your samskaras or attachments, your memories of pleasure. And it's those memories of pleasure that are constantly making us restless and obstructing our ability to focus in spiritual life and in life in general. So here it explains that the Pandavas are so glorious, the Lord was residing with them, and therefore anyone that was residing in there was already the topmost yogi, because they were constantly fixed on Krishna naturally, in relationship, and that's the glories of bhakti. That you can become a great yogi worshiping the deity and doing so many activities if your consciousness is one-pointed and fixed. Right? Prabhupada said in that verse in the Bhagavad Gita that inspired him in his preaching in America. Yesham twantikatam papam jananam panawa vivasayat nikabhuhya eke ha kuru nandana. He was one-pointed. That one who is in spiritual life is resolute in his determination. He's not in any branch. But how do you do that? You have to practice. You have to practice. And by practicing, the consciousness becomes imbued with devotion. And when the consciousness is imbued with devotion, then automatically when one is in the world, then his consciousness becomes reoriented towards service and seeing Krishna. And what is seeing Krishna? Seeing Krishna is seeing things in relationship with Krishna. Prabhupada gave the example, if you saw his glasses, you would think of him. But the world is God's energy. And when you start to see in terms of service, you start to see things in relationship to God. So for the Vaishnavas in Hastinapur, the invaluable fruit of tapas, satapa phalam, was to able to see him constantly, sometimes physically, but always in their hearts. So a very wonderful section will come up, and I'm going to stop now. And Narada's reaction and Hanuman's reaction when they're when they're exchanging, in the purport is going to mention that kataras acts like an intoxicating liquor. It makes those who drink it forget the pain of material life. So Hanuman was so immersed in speaking that his ecstasy raised higher, and Narada was dancing in ecstasy, hearing this kata, the love in Narada's heart that was imbuing for Krishna and for the devotees, it was impelling him to dance. But Hanuman was so absorbed in speaking, he was not annoyed. He was just in ecstasy. So we'll describe that. Are there any questions? I feel we made some progress today. Oh, wait. I think you can unmute your phones. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Good. Hey, Gail, I finally figured out how to work this question in answer mode. And I want to thank all the devotees for being patient, because I think we had three classes in a row where we had these kind of disruptions, you know. Okay, Gail, what is your question?
Oh, first of all, thank you for the rich food for thought this class.
Okay, go ahead.
But no, not my question.
I thought you were setting me up. Thank you for that rich food for thought. And now here's what I've been thinking.
Yeah, actually, I mean, I know we don't have time for all the questions I have here today, but
yeah. Okay.
One is, when you were saying that when we stay in a holy dham, you know, that's equivalent to having performed, you know, so much tapasya, you know? And, when I think of tapasya, I think of self-sacrifice, you know?
Yeah.
So, how is staying in the holy dham like, you know, sacrifice? You know, how are they equivalent?
Well, in one thing, Gail, when you come to the holy dham, you'll immediately realize what sacrifice it is.
I think that's why I haven't been inspired to go to India yet, actually.
Well, because Krishna is completely the center.
Yeah.
And that's the greatest sacrifice. The greatest sacrifice is to move ourselves out of the center. And the dham, you're forced to move out of the center.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
It's just so much not about you or me. It's so much about Krishna, and it's forced like that. So that's really what austerity is. And in terms of the fruit of austerity, there's that verse, Ahobata Swapa Chatogariyan Yajiva Grave Artite Nama Tubyam, that how wonderful it is, you know, that one even has chanted the holy name. He's already done everything. So there's a glorification of spiritual activities. But this is not just the Gokul, the Gadam in this world. This is Golok. This is Vaikuntha. This is the eternal residence. So when Krishna's on the planet, you can imagine the qualification of someone who is residing there with Krishna, and how much it's imbued with devotion, how much Krishna is the center. And when Krishna, that's why when you're in Vrindavan, it's hard to not think of Krishna. It's all about Krishna, and all the people that come there, it's all about Krishna. Everyone is going to the temple, you know, and it's quite wonderful. I mean, when I was just there, I was appreciating so much, because usually when I come, it's a little familiarity because I'm going to stay there for 5-6 months. This time I only had 1 week, and I was just so much relishing these devotees that stay in the Dham and worship Krishna. You know, it's like when you go in the temple, they have this shoe room, and you know, it has little boxes, and you put your shoes there, and the person is so advanced, who is they hire to keep the shoe room. He smiles, and he touches your shoes. And he's getting so much pleasure from touching the shoes of all the devotees.
Mm.
And he's so expert in his service that he memorizes every person and every person's shoes. Mm-hmm. So when you come back, he's remembered where he's put your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And he sits there all day. He's pure. He smiles. He's blissful. And, you know, the first thing I came, when I saw him, he said, "Did you hear that Dadu has left?" Such a glorious. And then when he's not there, there's another person that replaced him. Maybe he took a day off or something, who's not that expert, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't remember. But still, he takes so much pleasure in just every devotee's shoes, putting it in a, you know, a wood cubbyhole, and there's so much pleasure they get. So, you know, that's an aspect of Vrindavan. You know, even when this lady came to visit, very, very, very nice lady, you know. You know, like, very, very nice lady, 50 years old. And she was on the yoga tour, and she called me up. She'd like to see me when I'm here, and she was old friends with Henry. So she actually came to see me. And when she had some remembrances of Vrindavan, even though she got sick, you know, the thing she's remembering is that religion in Vrindavan is not something in a church. And it's not something held by a priest. Religion in Vrindavan means every tailor, you know, every shop, even the criminals are devotees. And unfortunately, I know who they are too, because I've been there for so many years. So it's a very special place to Dham. So even here, or when you go back and Krishna's actually there, I'm just relishing. Boy, and one thing the lady remembered is, you know, we went to the, when everybody's there, we arrived on this day, and they couldn't understand that it was Easter Sunday, and it was packed. She said, "What does it have to do with Vrindavan?" I said, "India is a secular country. They celebrate every religion." So, you know, it was closed for Christian holidays, it was closed for Muslim holidays, so it was so packed, and actually it's very disillusioning that they're spending so much money on Vrindavan, and, you know, they're making this, you know, highway now that goes off the main road into Vrindavan, and they're ruining Vrindavan externally. It's such traffic jams, it was shocking. And when we came in there on the bus, I felt so bad, because this is what people saw when they first came to Vrindavan. But, you know, I therefore take them to my friend's farm, Prem Kishore. And, you know, actually the person was born on the same exact day as me in America, October 13th, 1950. Same day as me. And he was born in Toronto. I was born in New York. And he has his farm. And he lives there. He lives such a spiritual life, because he just grows his own food and takes care of the cows and doesn't have running water in the house. And he lives this simple life. He has a beautiful house there. We didn't know how to put running water in it. Or maybe there is. We didn't put the bathroom in there. I don't know what it is. But he's growing all his vegetables. And this person began to talk to these Washingtonians. And, one person was a lawyer for the government, environmental lawyer. Another lady was a lieutenant colonel in the military. Another person was a dentist. They're very established. When he started talking, it had such a ring of integrity because he lived the philosophy. Made me feel a little bit in awe. Because I'm a little divorced, traveling around, I use all the modern technology. Just the integrity. When you actually speak, and he was telling them basically in a very tactful way, but they were all just so in awe and impressed. You look at him, he's so fit. He's got such good color from the work and the earth and the ground. And he lives that life to support his spiritual bhajan and his practices. And he lives there maybe 9-10 months of the year. How glorious. They could feel it. And he always preaches to me. Therefore, when I go to Vrindavan, when I do my spiritual practices, I go to his place. Because he tells me, he said, Vrindavan means the cows, Vrindavan means the trees, Vrindavan means the flowers, means the land, the birds. So when you get a glimpse of that real Vrindavan, centered on Krishna, and everything is for Krishna, and he has that consciousness. He grows flowers, but he grows flowers for the deity. Beautiful gardenias, beautiful roses. That's wonderful. Okay, Gail?
Mm-hmm.
I just answered one of your questions and used it as an excuse to speak about what I wanted.
Oh, that's good, though. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Who's that? Oh.
Vikaswami.
Maharaj, Hare Bo.
Hare Bo.
Where are you now? Where are you?
Gainesville.
Gainesville. Wow. Okay. When will we see you up here?
Oh, some old time. It's open-ended. Not sure yet what's happening.
You're not sure what's happening yet, the schedule. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it'd be always nice to see you. Maybe I can call you sometime today. Do you have a phone there? You can email me your number or something.
I don't actually have a phone.
Okay.
On Skype you can reach me.
What's that?
On Skype you can reach me.
Okay, well, I'll try to reach you on Skype. How many more days you'll be there?
I'll be here for another week or so at least.
Okay. I will give you a call. Thanks for coming on, Maharaj. Thank you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Wow, what an honor. A great Maharaj coming. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Hey, is that Jaini Tai?
Yeah, Jaini Tai and Kamal.
Oh, I've heard so much about Kamal from Henry. Henry is very attached to Kamal.
Uh-huh. Well, I am too.
I can. He told me that too. Okay, so you're in Columbus now, and we'll see you this.
Yeah. I'll be in late tonight. So I'll see you either tonight or tomorrow.
What time you get in? About?
I get into Baltimore at like 11, so I won't be till past midnight.
Okay, we'll see you. I'm looking forward to seeing you. Okay,
yeah,
great.
Too.
And my deepest affection for Seva Priya and Kamal.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Oh, is that Carl and Stella?
Hare Krishna.
Hi, Paul.
Great. Oh, boy. Henry, when I mentioned your name, naturally he smiles. He has so much love for both of you.
Hi, we also.
They're offering it, Henry. You're getting their love. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Paul.
Always nice to hear from you. Thank you.
Good.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please
accept my presence. Hare Krishna. Great. I hope I see you, I guess, the week after next, maybe at Gopi Shores. And
thank you for class. Wonderful class.
Thank you, Amia. If anybody's in the Jersey area, we have a nice program at their Mandir. Gopi Shore and Kishore Radha. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, good morning. This is Eka Chakra.
Eka Chakra, Hare Bo. I guess I will see you. I may come up. I was supposed to have a program in Hartford on that Friday. I may come up on Friday, but I'll call you beforehand.
Sure, anytime.
Because Vrajakishore really wants to see me, and he's going to be in town that day, so maybe we can have him over for lunch or something.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. It's great. I'm getting a sense there of who's out there. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Who's this?
This is Parameshwara.
Parameshwara, thank you. Great.
Even though you don't hear from me, I'm here on Sunday.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that because you've been one of the people that has been on since the very beginning. So that's really nice.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Great. I just really had a desire today to hear from people because, for 2 weeks it got kind of screwed up. And it gives me a sense of my audience again. And I wanted to celebrate that after 3.5 years I finally figured out basically how to use the phone. I feel foolish about that. And finally figured out how to basically put it in the right mode. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. This is Nanda Dulal.
I'm too close to you, Nanda Dulal. How far are you from Washington, D.C.?
Maybe 16, 17 miles.
16 or 70 or 60 or 70?
No, 16 or 70.
How long does that take?
Well, you know Maharaj, the traffic.
Well, can you email me your new number?
Sure, Maharaj. I'll do it shortly.
And then I'll give you a call sometime.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Shastra, did you get my email? We got to finalize those dates. I'll also call you in the next few days, okay?
Sorry, Maharaj. That'd be great. Thank you.
And make plans to visit. I'm really hankering to go out and stay with you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shastra. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, well, thank you all. I feel very, very encouraged that you all kind of stayed with me. And we'll continue now. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Vanshakalpa Turubhya Sakata Sindhu Deva Chapa.